Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 29, as we do wrap up our study through the book of Proverbs. And last week we broke away from Proverbs to do Purim 2018, just remembering God's miraculous preservation of the Jewish people when the world was wanting to pounce on the Jews and destroy them. And next week, we're going to finish Proverbs tonight. Next week, we're going to go into a topical study that there's a lot of confusion about. Those that follow prophecy are hearing a lot of words about Ezekiel 38, 39 is about to happen in the Middle East. And we're going to study why it really, it's kind of funny because people that are saying that, some of them are neat Bible teaching, prophecy teaching people, but they haven't read, when they teach it, they're not reading all the verses of Ezekiel 38, 39, some of which make it so there's no way. There's no way that this is the timing of Ezekiel 38, 39. And so we'll have a study about that. What is the war that's coming first? Is it Ezekiel 38, 39? Does Psalm 83, was it fulfilled in the past? Is it supposed to be, or is it yet to be fulfilled? And we're not going to get in depth on that because we've had in depth studies on Psalm 83. But just a little bit of timing because there's a lot of discussion about Ezekiel 38, 39 in the prophecy world if you follow that. So we're going to cover that. And then this week, it's most of the chapter, most of our studies on chapter 31, which is a mother's advice to a son, to a king, on how to be a good king. And it'll probably help us to be good Christians, too, if we take the advice. So, but in Proverbs 30:29, we're not reviewing anything of 2 weeks ago. There were three things which are majestic in pace. Yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. A greyhound. A male goat also. I've never really studied male goats, so I can't relate to that. I've seen greyhounds and lions. And actually, one time a lion almost jumped in my window. We were at a game farm, and I want to see lions. I want to see animals. And so I'm looking out into the safari, the grass safari. Had my arm on the open window. And I go, man, there's some over there. And then I look like this, and there's a lion right there on the hill. And as soon as I saw him, I went like this, and he went like this. I'm glad he just went like this and not like me. So another time, I'm glad that God tells animals when they can and can't eat. So, but then it goes on. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth, saying, unclean, unclean, and repent. put your hand on, if you're exalting yourself, man, we could send this verse to Washington, D.C., don't you think? And a lot of other places, as people are so full of themselves. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or you're devising an evil plan, just put your hand on your mouth, stop it. It's just saying stop being so foolish. And, and actually, some people think it's like the Jews would go around and say, unclean, unclean. They don't want their, if they had leprosy or whatever, they'd have to warn people, unclean, unclean. It's like putting your mouth like that, putting your hand on your mouth. I'm unclean if I am thinking evil, if I am planning evil, if I am glorifying self instead of God, then we're unclean. Verse 33, for as the churning of milk produces butter and the wringing of the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. If you're planning evil, you're planning wrath, you're planning to do something wicked, then it's just like if you churn milk. Man, I keep on beating this milk. What's going to happen? You're going to make butter. What's going to happen if you just sit there and you wring your nose? You're going to get bloody. What's going to happen if you're planning to do evil? Bad things are going to happen. It's cause and effect, biblically. Chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So she taught him, he wrote it down. We don't know who Lemuel is. Some people think it's another word for Samuel. May or may not apply. Doesn't matter. It's inspired by God. And then it says, what, my son? And the son here is firstborn, so it's talking about a firstborn son. And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. A mom's advice to the king applies to all Christians today. Don't be a womanizer. Don't get into immorality and chase women, because it will destroy kings. And again, people say if it was Solomon, he didn't listen, did he? And maybe somebody just, that God inspired this wisdom because, okay, Solomon's been talking here, and he's talking about wisdom that he didn't actually apply in his own life in many ways. And so now it's saying, okay, here's the advice of a woman to a king who is supposed to listen. You can't let yourself be a womanizer. And especially in this day and age, somebody sent me another link to a new app. I was going to make it a handout, but I'm actually afraid to let you know about another app on phones that are just absolute filth that kids are getting into. And this one parent was writing the article because her daughter comes home, young daughter, comes home and goes, I want this app. I want you, because she can't load an app unless her mom lets her. And I want this app. And she went and did some studying and just like, no way. And there is so much garbage out there. It's just unbelievable. And this was a girl downing an app, but it's all guys are involved in it too. I mean, it's almost impossible in this culture for our kids to grow up not womanizing, guysizing. Is that a word? It is now. It's horrible. In fact, I got a little bit of a kind of shock because my internet went down for 2 days. And I started thinking about, what do I do? Because I can't check my email and, do this. And I had to come into the office because I usually send myself my email files and everything and my study files and stuff. And I realized how much of our world is wrapped up. And then I realized how much it reminded me what it was like. How many years ago? 15, 20 years ago? What it was like before all this stuff. And may God help us, as we're all affected by it. Do not give your strength to women. Compare with 1 Kings 11 again, which I'm not going to get into, but 1 Kings 11, go read that. Solomon was taken down by his women because they led him off after idolatry. 1 Kings 11. In Ecclesiastes 7:26, this is, we're doing Ecclesiastes on Sunday. 2 weeks ago, we did 7:26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters, and who pleases. He who pleases God shall escape her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. And so, what is a mother's advice to the king? What destroys kings? Women, drunkenness, bribes, immorality, and all these things. And so, it's important for the woman to teach. Mother's job is to warn boys about being foolish with women. So that's just mothers, grandmothers, whatever. It should be the women who sit there and say, son, you've got to understand something. You can't go off into immorality. You can't get into porn. You can't be doing this stuff. Fathers should encourage their sons to listen to their moms. And more important than that is the father should be seen by the children, the sons, to be chaste in every way. There should be absolutely zero catcalling, this, that, whatever else. It's kind of funny. This world is so into stirring up the lusts and pleasures, and then nations are wanting to make it. People are thinking of making laws that you go to jail or get fined for catcalling. Isn't that crazy? They stir it all up with all the media and all the movies and everything, and then people start acting out on that. So, you can't do that, and so now we've got to outlaw this. We as men should be absolutely chaste. We should not be hypocritical in any way. We should not be into porn in front of the kids. We should never, or secretly, or anything. There is such a commitment to have to be, because God will expose us if we don't. And if not God, the NSA, as I've told our guys, it's just the world's watching more than we even have knowledge of. And young and single men, you better be careful. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, verse 4, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. So kings are not supposed to be drinkers at all. And what the mom is saying is, don't ever be drunk, because you never know when you're going to have to make a decision. And if you come stumbling out of the dinner table and somebody comes in with the justice being needed, and you're foolish in your drunkenness, drinking, being inebriated. And you know, it's the same thing in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read this to you. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Now, I hope, you know, it would be my hope nobody here has ever been inebriated, and therefore you'd have to be taught. But I can tell you that you lose sense, as I've said many times. If you get inebriated on anything, if you get intoxicated with weed, with drinking, with drugs, you lose your apprehensions. You lose your rule of law in your own mind. What you would not ever do, you'll do. And that's what God told the priest, that you may distinguish between holy and holy, that you'll keep your mind of, no, that's evil. That's evil. That's good. And you lose that when you get inebriated. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of God. You'll lose your connection with God to receive the word of God embedded in your life, and you'll start to teach profanity as priests. Did that ever happen? Did the priests ever lead the people in teaching idolatry and all these things? Yep, you can almost guarantee it started out with getting into Satan's world of drugs and alcohol. So, again, if you're not a priest, if you're not a king, if you're not a pastor, because the New Testament adds pastor, then it doesn't say you can't drink anything. It doesn't say that you have to abstain completely, but I suggest that you do. Because we're all, in a sense, in charge of our homes, and we need to stay sober, don't you think? It's good enough for kings, should be good enough for us. Verse 6. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So what's the deal with that? Well, this is before Vicodin and, Dilaudid. What's Vicodin, Dilaudid, Oxycontin. Yeah, when you watch a movie on the Civil War and they're sawing off a guy's leg, and what do they do? They give him the hard stuff, and they give it to him because give strong drink to him who is perishing. You know, you're dying, we're going to cut your leg off, whatever else. And so so the wisdom is, I want you, king, don't do it at all. But I'm not saying it might not be necessary for medicinal purposes of somebody that is on death's door. They're in misery. And even Jesus said, the Samaritan that was on the road, so when they bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own animal. You have to put wine in the wound and stuff, and probably to alleviate pain. That was the only thing people had back then, to alleviate pain. Open your mouth for the speechless, verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Now, what is the most extreme case of that? Somebody that's appointed to die who cannot defend themselves. Huh? The unborn. In fact, this verse really hit me the first time I read it with that applying. And it really made me say, and Wendy and I, we wrote letters to all the Supreme Court justices, you know, many, many years ago, everything else, warning them of the wrath of God upon them for voting pro-abortion and stuff like that, because God commands us here to speak up for those who can't. So in other words, Christian is not allowed to have, according to this verse, the Christian, the God-fearing person, does not have the option of staying silent when asked, or even just shouting out for this issue that is a curse in our country. and bringing the wrath of God upon our land. Because every single drop of innocent blood that is shed on the ground, according to the law of God, is crying out for the wrath of God to fall on us, to vomit us out of the land. And again, praise Jesus, another blood was shed, right? Other blood was shed, Jesus, who shed his blood to forgive those who have shed blood if they come to him in repentance. And so our mission is to gracefully, lovingly tell people it is an abomination to God to kill children in the womb. And if you've been part of it, you can have everlasting life still by the shed blood of Jesus who came to take away your sin. But you can't be neutral on it. It is an abomination to God. And we are supposed to open our mouths about it. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And our legal system does this because a poor and a needy person, what? He gets sent to court. What does he get given? What right does he have? He has a right to an attorney, somebody to speak for them on their behalf. Then the remaining verses are on a virtuous wife. It's telling the king how to spot a woman that will assist him in his endeavors to be a just king. There's 22 verses here, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's an acrostic. So each verse is taking a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and turning it into the wisdom of a virtuous wife. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And the Hebrew word for virtuous is usually attributed to men in battle. And it means valor. Who can find a fighting for good, for virtue woman? Who can find somebody that is virtuous? Wes Bentley's article was talking about the Knights Templars, the men who gave their lives to defending Christians during the wars in the Middle East of the Muslims trying to slaughter the Christians. And the valor that these people, they stood their ground to the death, to the point where the Muslims at times were massively overrunning. And this one man was outnumbered, and he was so brave. The Muslims said, just stop fighting us and we'll let you live. They were so impressed with his valor and his bravery to take on a whole army. It was just suicidal. And he refused. He refused. He goes, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to defend my people. And so who can find that kind of valor? And the only time it was actually used was for who is the very valorous? I mean, your people will be my people. Who is that? Ruth. The only time that Hebrew word was used is in Ruth 3:11 for Ruth. I have heard, this is Boaz coming. I have heard, everybody knows you are a virtuous woman. You have completely left your people. You have left your country. You have left everything, and you have hung on to your mother-in-law through all the, you are a virtuous woman. Valorous woman. In Proverbs 12:4, it says, an excellent wife, wife of valor, virtuous wife, is a crown to her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. If a king doesn't find a virtuous wife, then he can be distracted by the rottenness of his bones. And it is our job, women, again, to grandmothers, mothers, whatever, to try and help our sons to find virtuous women and to have the women, the Christian women growing up in the homes, to go to learn to be available to those men to be virtuous women. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Well, why is it worth more than rubies? And by the way, you'll find nothing in here really about her looks. It's all about her character. I, as I've shared before, I have friends that, man, their wives have squandered a pile of rubies. I don't know how much rubies are, but they squandered a pile of rubies. You get a woman that fits what we're going to read here, worth more than rubies, worth more than gold, worth more than anything, because there's tangible and intangible benefits in the verses that we're reading. The tangible are, she's not going to be foolish with money. She's not going to spend you into oblivion. She's not going to run up the credit cards and make you have to declare bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's also the intangible benefits, which is, you know, your children are more likely to grow up if they see a virtuous mom and a God-fearing, honorable dad. There's a greater chance that those children will grow up to emulate that. They'll be shocked. They'll be set apart. They'll be disciplined. They'll be taught the word of God. They'll be taught the fear of God. And then, wow, how incredible an intangible benefit to see it go to your children and then to your grandchildren, maybe. I mean, that is beyond comprehension to be able to have that happen these days. Far above rubies, the heart of her husband safely trusts her so he will have no lack of gain. She lives her life in complete loyalty to her husband. No flirtations with others. In all labor there is profit. Idle chatter leads only to poverty, it says in Proverbs 14:23. And today we have lots of idle chatter that's going on that is leading to unfaithfulness. And, I mean, the sociologists are all over the map on this. They're all over this. They say all the social media is destroying families and faithfulness between husbands and wives. Destroying the family in America. But see, a husband who has a God-fearing wife, a virtuous wife, he can trust her. He can trust her to know that there's not going to be a secret little Facebook session with somebody from high school. Or there's not going to be a texting that's with some old flame of the past. And all the stuff that happens. And by the way, I've seen and heard a lot of stuff and all the social engineering and social networking and stuff. Social engineering. All right. Social networking and stuff. As soon as that is breached, just think about this. As soon as it's breached, trust is breached, what happens? It's hard to get it back. Very hard to get trust back. And so, again, we all want to be virtuous men and women here, right? So, forget the king right now. Let's let it be for all of us. We have got to be doing what is, we need to make it so that our spouse can trust us in what we're doing. That's what we need to do. In every way. Not spending time gaming, social media, movies, constant. If you're allowing yourself to get a constant dose of the world through what's available out there today, what's going to happen? You're going to get worldly. If you let the world come in through the movies and the media and everything else that's there, it's going to get you. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Culturally, at the time, the man was the one that was responsible for bringing in the wealth to the family. And the woman contributed by making sure that she was wise with what got spent, rather than using it on pleasures. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What would make a woman want to do evil to her husband? When you really think about it, it's, again, they get married, they love each other, they went to the altar, they said, yes, I do. But what happens? The devil gets in there, gets sin between the wife and the husband. That stirs up what? Stirs up bitterness, anger. And see, and the devil says, get him back. Get her back, In this case, it's get her. We'll keep it both ways here tonight. Get her back. Get him back. And as soon as that happens, then she has a time where she wants to do him evil. But how cool it is to grow up where to be a husband and wife where you're not trying to do evil to one another. You're not trying to get back. I was on the phone with somebody and they said something today that I had never heard before, and you probably all heard it. It was a definition of bitterness. He said, so-and-so says that bitterness is like drinking a cup of poison and waiting for somebody to die, waiting for the other person to die. You ever heard that before? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Bitterness is, I'm bitter, I'm bitter, strychnine, I'm bitter, and they're going to die. You take your own strychnine, and you're waiting for them to die. And And that's exactly what happens as soon as a wife decides to get back at somebody, or for that matter, a husband gets back. They're on a path of destruction. In fact, it's foreboden by Jesus, isn't it? You know, it says if we forgive, you know, we've been forgiven by God, we have to forgive and not want to just get back and destroy. Because really, to want to do evil to somebody has its roots in what? Hatred. And we're not allowed to hate. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, makes clothes for her family back then. Today you can't buy them. You can buy them cheaper than you can make them. Today it's go to the thrift store, find somebody that's kids are grown out, or the clothes and whatever. Looking to save money is what it's talking about. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar, then walks miles to get. And I've seen it in third world countries. Women walk for miles. They walk for miles to go get water, miles to go get the sticks for making the fire for cooking the meal, miles to town to go get the Nile River fish and bring it home to the family. Today, shop sales, or goes to the thrift store, shop sales, finds coupons, cut coupons, whatever else to help make ends meet in the family. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. And again, no lights. Can't flip the switch and get up early. So this is, the man is pretty much tied to the chickens. That's when they wake up. By the time they get their eyes open, it's time to go out in the fields and do the cattle and, you know, do the crops and whatever else they're doing out there. And what this is saying, the virtuous wife wakes up in the morning while it's still dark to make sure that he has something to go out to the fields with. And today, it'd be like, does he have a sack lunch ready to go to work so he doesn't have to buy one and to be ready to go out to work. Now, in our culture, a lot of times both people are going off to work together and makes it difficult. But just have a thoughtfulness that way towards each other. Sometimes maybe the guy should be making the meal to help out because they're both going off to work. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. There's a lady, we have breakfast on Tuesdays, and we're kind of noticing there's this one lady. She doesn't have much money. By the way, she dresses and stuff and hygiene. And she comes in, and the first thing she does, and I've never seen it, but she plops down a $100 bill and gets 100 tabs, pull tabs, and then sits there at the table and does 100 pull tabs. And I don't know if she's married or anything, but you know what? I am so thankful to Jesus for my wife, Juanita. She doesn't go buy $100 worth of pull tabs. Never has. And a lot of other things. I mean, it's just, can you imagine? And there are people addicted to that kind of mindset where they are doing nothing but destroying their... She's obviously destroying her own life. And I was even talking to one of the guys. I was saying, I feel like asking her, have you ever hit the big time? And just to try and help her, do you realize what you're doing? I mean, you're spending $100, maybe a day. We only go once a week. Maybe she comes in every day. I don't know. And to just try and reason with her, look at what's happening to your life. But, you know, it might offend her to try and do that. And, you know, maybe she says, yeah, one time I made $10,000, I'm giving it back to him. $100 at a time. And that's what gambling is. You are giving it back to them because it's just... And one of the guys says, if she really knew God, all it would take would be one pull tab. You know, God told me to buy a pull tab today because that's the winner. And you do one pull tab, okay, you know. Find out if you're hearing from God. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Hard-working, good-shaped woman. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She makes something that is going to be sold at the marketplace. People are going to esteem her stuff. And she works with it at night. And again, you work where there's no lights. It's really hard. In Sudan, when you're in Sudan and the lights go out, you feel like, man, there's nothing to do. You got to just sit in your bed with your little headlight because you can't. But if you had a little lamp and you have something to do, because you don't want to sleep 12 hours, So it must have been tough without lights. It's too long to sleep, so what are you doing? And she lights a lamp, and she makes sure she's doing something for the family. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy because she's a virtuous woman, and God loves the poor, and she reaches out to them because she fears God. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She provides clothing for her family. Make sure that everybody's going to be warm. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. A man's reputation is often tied to the condition of his family, isn't it? What kind of man is he? Well, if you have a virtuous woman, you're going to be esteemed by the men of the city. Again, people will sit there and go, man, you're actually causing them to sin because they covet your wife. But, you know, tell them you can't covet your wife. It's your wife. You were the one that was the wise guy that got a good woman. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants to clothe their family and those that are around. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Her life will be blessed by her children, grandchildren, and in heaven. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. It's hard work, though. Isn't this all hard? I mean, it's extremely hard, not self-centered, thinking about others, being virtuous. But you get the reward in seeing it in your children and grandchildren. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Well, it says what comes out of the mouth again. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And so she's not going to be a cussing, swearing, vile person. She's not going to be screaming and yelling and profanities and other ways. It's going to be her mouth is governed by God because in her heart she's hidden the law of God. And I've seen so much. You know, you sit there and you even listen to the people that the world accolades and Hollywood and everything else, and you see the way their mouth goes, and you just see it's just filth. Just their heart's filled with filth, and you just see it come out of their mouth. I've seen it in many, many different ways. I'm so thankful for my wife. Again, I'm not wanting to make any of this about my wife, so but I mean, it's just to have somebody that hasn't been worldly. Just, it's incredible. It's far more valuable than rubies. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What is the biggest curse in America today? Idleness. That we have such an ability to be idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You know, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And, you know, maybe this Lemuel took the advice, and he as a king had a virtuous woman, and the mom is saying that. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And isn't that awesome? You know, again, nothing about this is about the outward beauty of a woman. It's all about the inward. And it says that charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. Isn't that true? Everybody gets old. and nobody thinks, you know, you're more beautiful today than you were when I first married you. No, it never, not on the outside. You're lying. You're lying if you say it. We do decay. Huh? So, now you are still.
I thought you were going
to ask this about me. It does go away. But isn't the inner beauty more important? And really, I mean, just think about this. The world is looking for, they're just looking at the outside. of the jar. They don't care if inside is poison. They don't care. They just want the jar. I want the jar. You know, that's a beautiful jar. And they don't realize it's poison. And what God's everything about God is exactly backwards from the world. Just find out what's inside. And if what's inside, then take the jar home. And what this is a chapter, it's a chapter of what's inside. And that's what we should train our children. It's almost like at times you can even tell them, I've told people before, it's almost like a blessing to be born blind in this world, wouldn't you think? Because a blind person, they don't care about what their eyes are seeing. So you lose the lust of the eyes, and you lose a lot of the lust of the flesh, because a lot of the lust of the flesh is tied to the eyes. And then it's like pretty hard to do. Then you just have the pride of life. How much do you do that being a blind person? You're really pretty set free to go in. Now you just want to care about what is this person saying? Oh, they're foul-mouthed. I don't know how beautiful or ugly they are, but they're foul-mouthed, so they're dirty inside from what I know. Or, they have graceful, loving compassion to others, and they have a fear of God, and they talk about Jesus lovingly. Oh, that's somebody I want to talk to. And so verse 31 to close, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She will be praised in the gates as a virtuous woman. And may God help our boys, children, grandchildren, etc., find a good woman. And may we raise good women for them to find. That's the moral of the story there. And that is a tall mission today. It is a taller mission today than I think in any time in world's history, because of just how many things are stacked up against our children to grow up with a godly fear. Yeah.
Did you say there are 20 points here?
22.
If it was 20, that would be 5 points each for 100.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You and Mary figure that out and let us know next week.
My mother was a virtuous woman.
Uh-huh.
I have that written right in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
She was a World War I, a World War II wife. And anything I learned from her.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, and it's a crazy world out there. A lot of people are learning in ways that, you know, they don't have a godly influence to help them learn. May God help us and our children. So let's pray for that, right? Father, we do lift up, not just in this body, Lord, but all over the world. In every country of the world, Lord, there's just such a demonic attack upon our children and the family. And Lord, we pray specifically for our little church here, that God, you would just help the men and women, the fathers and mothers of our families to really double down on the importance of trying to keep the world out of the family, to keep the wickedness of the devil from deceiving our children and our grandchildren, and in some cases great-grandchildren, from being tripped up and missing out on such an incredible life of service to you. A life of being a virtuous woman and a chivalrous man. A man who has turned away from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the vileness of this world to save his eyes and his life for the virtuous woman that you would bring into his life. And God, that you would just create that woman with just a desire to be there, prepared and equipped to be that woman for a husband that would be honoring in the gates to her husband, and that would be a blessing, Lord, and a witness of your power to save and direct our lives in the midst of this crazy world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand. Give to Jesus all the glory. Give to Jesus all the praise. Give to Jesus all the honor. He came to save. We give you, Jesus, all the glory. We give you, Jesus, all the praise. We give you, Jesus, all the honor. Your life you gave. I give you, Jesus, all the glory. I give you, Jesus, all the praise. I give you, Jesus, all the honor. My life you save. I give you, Jesus, all the glory. I give you, Jesus, all the praise. I give you, Jesus, all the honor. My life, you say. Your life, you gave. My soul, you say.
We owe them all, don't we? He made a way for us to be forgiven, saved, and bound for glory. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.